anymore, but I don't think people are leaving messages, you know, and at least for me, I have an alternative cell phone to call, you know, so I could count at least, you know, three in the last couple months that people said, I've been trying to get in touch with Mary, and I'm like, how do I know? Like, we don't have a log that when we go into the office, we can see who called, and even if we did, we wouldn't know who it was, you know, so that's just my perception, because in the past we'd be there every day, you know, so we pick up the phone. If I was sitting at my desk, I would pick up the phone. Hi, this is Mary Burgart. But like Andrew said, that's not an option anymore. We're not sitting at our desk picking up the phone. Sometimes I'll pick up my cell phone if someone's calling my cell phone, but sometimes that doesn't happen either. It goes right to voicemail. So if there is any message to give out to people, just make sure you leave a message and a number for us to call you back.
Mr. Chairman, if I might add, I think when the staff leaves a cell phone number, they should repeat it twice. There's some staff that don't, so you can't. You have to rehear the message a second time. And if you don't have that, you can't get the number. Some staff will speak it very quickly, and I think it will be very helpful if you want people to call you, is to say the alternative number slowly, but repeat it twice, and that will help part of this. Thank you.
Anything further? Andrew, are you sure you want to leave? Because that was you encapsulated the situation perfectly, and I'm sure Jen's taking notes, so it'll be fine. But thank you all. I just wanted to add a couple of things with regard to that, one of which is a point of personal privilege. As a union steward, I want to clarify that alternative work schedules is something that we worked on diligently for a long time, and we went through some difficult negotiations to get it. And I know what looks like a day off. It's not that can lead to some misunderstandings. People work their time. They are working 35 or 40 hours. They happen to compress the schedule into fewer than 10 days over the course of a two-week pay period. But I want to emphasize that that is not a day off. They're working their hours, and they do their work as normal. They just happen to do it in a different time frame. The second issue is with regard to phones. I would remind employees that they are not obligated to give their personal mobile phone numbers. If they need to be reached by mobile phone, they should have a discussion with their supervisor to see about whether the agency can provide them with a mobile phone. Because your personal phone is your personal phone, and it is not something that's meant to be a supplemental work phone.
All right, just to clarify, Al, that is my work cell phone that I was referring to. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Most of our staff do have work cell phones, and honestly, okay, they probably check that more than they do their voicemail. So that's just, if there is a rush and there is a cell phone, that somebody should contact that. So, you know, if they're really looking desperately to talk to somebody, calling the staff person's work cell phone is probably the ideal thing to do.
Yeah, Steve's admonition applies to make sure you recite your phone number slowly. And I would also add that's a stock admonition at our staff meetings now. Check your phones, because the boss walks around, he sees all these red lights and says, you know, you guys have to check your messages. So it's something that we're working through.
I did that at the beginning of COVID. I walked around and I looked at the red lights and realized that meant people. And in the very beginning of COVID, people were in sort of a semi-state of shock. But I just want to say I've always used my personal cell number, which is 944-6190. And I want people to forget that number, 944-6190. Don't want any.
So when I'm done with this meeting, I'm going to have to return about two dozen phone calls, because the office where I'm working, we have a phone number. It's supposed to be for occupational employment and wage statistics. insurance, wage and workplace standards, and tax, and all this other stuff that has nothing to do with occupational employment and wage statistics. But because we happen to have a phone whose number is monitored by live people, everybody gravitates to it.
And that another thing, just to add, if this is, you know, it's kind of important also, is that we are opting to shut down some of our office phones. I don't know if that's like in the works, Carol, but that's something that we should probably like get our, you know, so our staff, some of our staff have opted to get rid of their work phone and use their cell phone as their work phone. And especially our new staff. For me, I've been here, you know, so long that it doesn't make sense for me to disable it because people know to call me on my number, you know, but you know, so that's another thing. I know, like, it's easy because people would kind of memorize 860-602, and then it's just four extensions. But,
right.
You know, in the future, you know, it's going to be their cell phone that's going to be, you know, because that's kind of what we're doing. We have a list that we've actually are disabling. So some of the new staff aren't getting work phones. So that may be some of the frustration I think that people may be experiencing, because they know our like I was saying, that, you know, this isn't an 860-602 number, you know, that I'm calling, but that may be the staff person's work.
One last
thing. We're getting the same thing among our staff. They're seeking volunteers, mm-hmm. who want to go software only on the phones.
One last thing from me. I also know of at least one employee who did not get rid of their office phone, but has it. If it rings four times because they're not in the office, it goes to their cell phone. You don't pick up a message saying, try calling me on my cell. The ringing then diverts and starts ringing their state cell. And that may be something people want to consider doing. Also, like what Mary described, which is get rid of the phone. The office phone altogether, so no one's even thinking that they left a message and it's not getting anywhere. But another technical possibility is to have the office number forward to your cell phone after a certain number of rings if you're not at the desk.
That's a good idea, Andrew. I'll send that out to my staff just to let them know to do that, because you could do that right through the system. Yourself, you don't need to like go to IT, but people I don't think know that, so I'll send that out to staff.
Excellent. Any further questions and comments? Okay, thanks everybody. That was an incisive discussion. I think we've made some progress in understanding one another and how systems work. So I think that was very,
Chris,
very
Chris has his hand up, and you're muted.
Yeah,
Chris.
Oh, yeah, there you are. Hey, Chris. Yep, I see your hand. Have at it.
I had one question, and because I realize that this is an issue of great concern to the board members. I would be happy to have this discussion with individual board members, and maybe I should be having this discussion with Carol at some point, but I find that as the adult services supervisor, I'm getting a considerable number of calls directed to my voicemail that have to do with children's services or VR, and I. You know, so what I have been doing is, you know, making every effort to call those folks back and explain that they need to contact somebody else. But I don't know how these folks are being directed to my line. And so maybe we need to have more training for the people who are answering the phones. But you know, we in adult services, we tend to get an awful lot of the sort of unusual calls, you know, where people are not sure where to perhaps to direct a particular client. But I do find that I'm dealing with more than my share of clients who are actually seeking information about children's services or VR. And maybe that's an issue for training of the folks who are answering the 4,000 line. I don't know. But it's at the point where I'm considering how best to perhaps change my voicemail message. So it's clear that if somebody is leaving me a message at, that I'm the adult services supervisor, not, and that if they're calling about a matter to do with, VR, children's services, or BEP, they should, try the 4,000 line again. But I find this to be a really challenging situation where, the voicemail will fill up in, well less than a day with 20 calls. And a good portion of those will not be about an adult client. So I guess I would say that as somebody who's in the office most days, I would be happy to be part of sort of a training program for the folks who are answering the staff, answering the phones. So,
thanks, Chris.
Well, you might be right, Chris, because every time I call, I don't have any kind of a Besby staff directory or anything, so I call and I get somebody on the switchboard and I will say, I would like to speak to so-and-so. That's the only way I can get through, because I really don't know, because I'm not an active client. I don't really know how to reach most people. So I always have to go through the switchboard. I don't know, maybe training is an issue, I'm not sure.
Mr. Chairman, I think two things you might want to look at. One is it possible for BESBE, for the advisory board members, to get the phone extensions of the staff? And secondly, when you call some companies, they say, welcome to the Board of Education and Services for the Blind. If you wish to speak to Children's Services, press this number. If you wish to speak to Adult Services, press that number. If you wish to speak to Boat Rehab, this number, and all other calls go to that number. Is that a practical thing to do?
I think it's, just to kind of chime in a little bit on that, what Chris is saying, because we don't really, like in the past, we had an administrative assistant that would field all Voc Rehab calls. So, I agree with Chris. I get a lot of calls that are, honestly, I get a lot of BRS calls. They're like, I'm calling Voc Rehab, and then you're calling them, and you want to be kind and courteous, but it becomes time consuming, especially to have to return all calls that are not relevant. So like for all Voc Rehab calls to come to my voicemail, would be difficult, for me to kind of field them all. But so I don't know who at this point, until we hire all the staff that we're looking to hire, Carol had said, the administrative assistant, we're getting another secretary, it would be difficult to do that, I think. Because I agree with Chris. I feel like I think I'm in the office less. I think more you're in the office more, Chris. So I think that's the pattern behind it all. Well, Chris is available, I'll send it to Chris. And it's just like everybody said, if you're picking up that call, he's in the middle of doing something, those calls can be pretty cumbersome, they could be a lot of calls, and then you're on the phone with a parent of Children's Services and you're like, okay, this is, not my program at this point. So I do relate to
your hand
Chris
is raised,
that.
Chris.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chris. Your hand is raised there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to get my hand down there. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Thanks.
Very good. All right, sorry, Mary.
No worries. I'm just done. I was just agreeing to what Chris said, that I just think at this point, it's probably due to not having the clerical support we had in the past. I just don't think that, you know, at one point we really had none, you know. Luckily, you know, we have Rhea now, but, and again, like, Rhea's got so many things that she's doing, you know, that it's we just don't have the level of receptionist support right. that we have had in the past, and I think people are used to that, and we haven't, you know, been able to sustain, you know, get to that level again, you know. So and somebody like Invoke Rehab, it's easier because people are assigned, you know, so you know who your counselor is. If it's a generic question, absolutely come to me, but you know, it would be hard to field all the calls. And like I said, I get a lot of BRS calls because it's like VR, okay, here you go, you know. So
This is Catherine Guzman. May I say something?
Yeah. Sure, Catherine. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just wanted to you know, mention, just from the perspective of a parent, you know, coming in and calling and not necessarily knowing who to speak to, and, you know, you're nervous and you're feeling vulnerable, and sometimes people are feeling scared and not knowing who to talk to. if it is a situation where we're just being directed sort of haphazardly to whoever will pick up. I think that there needs to be some, we need to fix that. If it can't be on the level of individuals that are there sort of putting you to the right person, which I understand can be a bit much during the day-to-day if many people are calling, I do think that there is something to be said about the suggestion that was made about figuring out how the phone systems work so that when people come in, they can make those decisions themselves and get themselves to the right people. The idea of sort of kicking the can in a way and saying, oh, well, these aren't my people and I'm doing other things, that's totally reasonable, but then we have to then put the tools in place for people to be able to do it themselves and get to the right individual.
Thank you.
And I agree 100%, and that's one of the worst things I think about, like, I don't know if Chris feels the same way, but that is the worst, you know, like, because I'm on the, you know, you're on the phone and you're not able to provide that assistance, and then you do feel like you are kicking the can down the road, like, okay, now no, call this person. So you want to take the time, and like, you never want to like call somebody back and like 2 minutes be, you know, okay, sorry, I can't talk to you, because that, you know, like, that's not what we want to do either. So that's where it is a very difficult situation, you know, to have the calls fielded to you, you know. And then you don't want to give false information to people. That's the other thing, like, I can't necessarily answer, you know. So the way that we have it now is difficult for Chris, for example, because then he has to call the person back to call the other person, or, you know, like, it's just too logistically. So I agree, like, we don't want to get into that situation.
Are we able, though? I'm sorry, I don't mean to talk over you. Are we able, though, to work on the phone system and how that is set? Do we have any you know, ability to talk to somebody who's in charge of that, sort of figure that out a little bit? Because I agree, it really shouldn't be on you guys to be the secretaries and direct people to the right people, but it seems to me if I called and I was able to say, no, I know I need to talk to Children's Services and to choose that, you know, that that way of going, then we wouldn't have this much stuff. People could be relied upon to make the correct decisions if they were given a little bit more ability to figure that out on their own.
This is Carol. I will talk to IT to see if they can work with Avaya to see if that is an option, because I do not know that answer.
Okay, that's wonderful, because I really do feel like that's the way forward. You can't put it on people that it's not their jobs and they're already busy and doing things, and I don't think anybody's suggesting that that should be the case, but I do think if there's a problem, then that would be a solution. If it's possible, then that removes all of the issues from everybody else's plate and still gives the way for the parents or anybody else who's calling. I'm just talking about that from where I stand. That would be a useful thing to do and sort of remove it from everybody's plate. Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to, I think we should be mindful that we are in a period of transition here. The pandemic is receding, and we have systems to deal with, we have personnel matters to deal with, and I think the best thing to do is, you know, and I empathize with you, Chris and Mary, believe me, because, as I said, when I go back, I'm going to have to address all these phone calls, most of which have nothing to do with what we're doing, but we want to be helpful. And think it would be useful to just counsel patience and kindness while we get through this. And Carol has offered a possible solution, and we'll see where that gets us. With that, do we have any further discussion?
Al? This is Andrew. I stepped away for three or four minutes, so I apologize. But I did notice that Ashford Farrenpool is on the call now from the Department of Social Services. I don't know if that got acknowledged generally, and if it did, my apologies.
Thanks, Andrew. I was just going to mention that to Rhea so that we note that Astrid is with us.
I'm sorry to have taken that away from you. Sorry.
No worries.
The other thing I wanted to say was I'm guessing that in terms of the minutes, while we just spent a great deal of time talking about the phones, you would like the minutes to say there was a wide-ranging discussion about ways to improve the answering of outside calls and not three pages of what we...
Hi, this is Rhea, and that is pretty much what I just did. So, okay.
I figured you're smart enough, Rhea, but I just felt like I was talking out loud. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I think that's useful, because this is another thing that I would like for us to get used to is, you know, when we have a discussion, it doesn't have to be transcribed into the minutes. It's sufficient to say that we had a discussion. If there are any particular insights that, you know, Rhea feels we should have, but by all means include those. But we don't want exchanges between Mr. Ms. and MX taking up all these pages on our minutes. Anything further? Hearing none, let's move to this next item on the agenda, which are Bureau program updates. Going alphabetically here, we have business enterprises. And with that, Tyrell, you have the floor.
All right. Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, everyone. To date, BEP continues to be in full motion with assisting our operators in maintaining their operations. As we all know, telework continues as a primary option within state government, which in turn, we continue to observe minimal occupancy in buildings throughout state buildings. As this work allowance is the new norm, our program maintains a positive outlook on our ability to increase operator profitability while preparing for future opportunities. As a result, BEP is proud to announce, with the approval of the Statewide Committee of Blind Vendors, our ability to offer a 12-month pilot vending machine route partnership with existing operators within our program, actively listed on our internal transfer and promotion list for the 2023 year, which will essentially allow them to expand their current business opportunities or perhaps transition out of their current facility into this opportunity. Should we observe their ability to make the opportunity a permanent opportunity. Basically, what this is, it's an approved vending route with our third-party vending company, who is Pepsi. So in conjunction with the operator working with Pepsi, this opportunity will maintain the integrity of our statewide vending contract, and it also preserves the value for future statewide vending machine contract awards, ensuring that the revenues in which we currently receive remain to provide future opportunities, provide training, the health insurance in which we offer reimbursement for food losses for some of our facilities when that occurs, maintenance to the equipment, repairs, and purchase of new equipment. So we were able to identify through our budget the ability to essentially earmark $200,000 from our annual budget to provide these opportunities to individuals, and which would essentially allow 10 opportunities, which would allow operators anywhere from earnings of $20,000 up to $35,000, dependent on participation levels. In fact, I did just recently get updated with this number, and it appears we have, I believe, 9, possibly all 10, members who have interest in taking on this opportunity. So we're excited about that. You know, some of the roles and responsibilities that would be included in this opportunity would be operators would go out to verify each vending machine is operational. If they identify any issues, they'd be required to contact Pepsi directly or the third-party company in which Pepsi has selected to, in turn, assist us with any repairs or any concerns with the vending machine they oversee. They will also be out there confirming pricing, product pricing, to ensure that the pricing within the machines are in line with the statewide vending contract, verify the overall health of the vending machine, maintain a suggestion box, or possibly create an email in which will allow for direct contact to the overseer of the machine as to any issues or concerns a state building or any entity in which they oversee has may have, and be able to relay that information with Pepsi or the third-party company to ensure satisfaction to the concern is achieved. They'll be responsible to communicate directly quarterly with the building, someone in charge of the building, to ensure that the overall service is being maintained to satisfactory. Operators were allowed to select their own vending routes within the pre-approved list that we provided to them. And so overall, I think it's a big win. One thing I've taken away, I think, out of this year and going to just recently a conference with other fellow Randolph Shepherd leadership amongst the country, is that our program in particular has really been hit by the pandemic. I mean, just the way we are forced to operate in state government and, or, you know, with this telework, it really has been a challenge to provide individual location viable opportunities. So with that said, you know, it's time to become creative. And I think what we're offering is a creative route within our allowance of statute and regulations to be able to, you know, expand on opportunities, but more or less be able to allow operators to pick up any income loss they may have incurred due to the effects of COVID. So obviously we're asking to spread operators a bit thinner should those operators choose to take on this opportunity and retain their current opportunity. However, it appears that these operators have identified the capacity and the ability to do so. So it's a good thing. We're excited, and we're hoping to be able to launch this opportunity by July 1. So internally, we're working on finalizing some things to be able to properly roll this out for July 1 start date. So operators are excited. Income will be increasing for many operators, and I think we're on the right track of doing some good things. So that's a plus in that area. Further on, seasonal concessions have resumed. We are up and running at Hammonasset Beach in Rocky Neck. We did not open Gillette Castle this year's concession. The operator withdrew their interest due to some of the changes in which Gillette Castle has gone with castle visits and tours. They now have put a limit, and they have a guided tour with a, I believe, maximum of 15 people per tour, which kind of strongly affects the buses that used to come by the boat by the droves, and now kind of affected the concessions. We realized that last year, just through the business reports of the operator, that she really did not have a good season last year due to the limitations in which were put on. I did speak to Deep Director. They didn't consider that. Not that our concession would have made any changes as to how they were planning the tours, but respectfully understood our concerns. And so we didn't waive it, but we're kind of monitoring this season to see if there's an uptick in park visits and see if there's any changes in which may be of benefit to the concession next year. And hopefully we can maybe resume that if all aligns well. So that's in that area. In addition, we have had strong conversations with the community colleges. As many of you may or may not know, the colleges have merged to one administration. And so with that merge, they face their own individual challenges, one to include the food service operations in many of the community colleges. And having a lot of dialogue and conversation with those folks, we were able to essentially assist with their concerns of resuming over-the-counter food service, as many of the